In the summer of 1991, TV producer Bill Moyers took his cameras into the living rooms of two middle-class families in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. The breadwinners in each household had just been laid off from their jobs at Briggs & Stratton, a manufacturer of lawnmower engines. They were among 4,000 employees at the company who'd been let go. Over the next decade, Moyers followed the families of Tony and Terry Newman and Claude and Jackie Stanley. The result is a new documentary called Surviving the Good Times, which airs Tuesday night on many PBS stations. Moyers and his crew watched as the family's fortunes rose and fell amid the so-called booming economy.
Well, every life is a particular life, and every family is a family as different as the fingerprints on the individuals. One family is white, one family is black, while they come from different backgrounds, they held a certain values in common, and their faith helped hold them together over this decade. These are people who are devoted to what became a political cliche in the 1990s, family values. And these are people who really, as Bill Clinton said in 1991 in his political campaign, you know, they play by the rules and they get shafted. And time again, that happened to both families.
It seemed as if the Stanleys were much better at hanging on to hope. When I say better, I don't mean that they handled things better. I just meant for some reason they kept hoping despite all the stuff that was happening to them, losing the jobs and the father getting sick and having a $30,000 medical bill. They kept saying, we hope for the best, whereas the Newmans had what I think is a kind of more, what most of us, the kind of response most of us would have, which is, when is this all going to end?
Tony Newman in particular comes out of that old working class ethnic background where after the 1940s, during the war and following the war, life really got better for them. I mean, they bought into the American dream. It seemed as if one generation would do better than the next generation, that once you got a job in a blue-collar manufacturing environment, you were going to keep it. So I think this blow to Tony Newman's identity, blow to his sense of manhood, blow to his pride. You know, he was laid off from the same manufacturing company that his mother had worked for many years before her retirement. That was a humiliation to him. Whereas the Stanleys have been accustomed over the years, like so many African-American families, to having to overcome one hurdle after another to make a small gain. I think that accounts for some of the reality that it was a hard blow for Tony Newman from which he didn't recover for a long time.
There was a fascinating sidebar, too, that developed in the Newman family because Tony Newman was out of work for a while. Then he found a job at a very low pay, and he would get these little tiny incremental raises every couple of years or else he'd lose the job again. In the meantime, his wife got a commercial trucker's license, decided she loved the independence, and Tony found this hard to deal with, that his wife was, as he put it, sticking up for herself more.
Again, Tony comes out of that old working class world where it was the man who did the job and the woman stayed at home. In fact, one of my favorite scenes in the documentary is when they go to northern Wisconsin and visit with his parents.
When I got married to my husband, he felt the wife's place is in the home. Then my husband had his job completely eliminated from the earth. He was what they called a compositor, and they set type. So when he lost this job, I wanted to keep the kids in Catholic school, so I went and got the job just to help us out. But I made my husband a promise that there would never, ever be a dirty house or a supper missed.
Now, once Terry Newman began to work, she liked it. It was something Tony never really thought Terry ought to do because he should be the breadwinner. That old ethos was so powerful in his life that when she did catch on, did begin to make good money, there was an understated but real resentment on his part.
There are also elements that don't get talked about in news stories about the economy. When we read about people who are struggling, middle-class people, we tend to not focus on the more human elements, such as the marriage. The Newman's marriage starts to fall apart, whereas it seems the Stanley's marriage somehow weathers this storm and even gets stronger.
There was a very interesting poll released a couple of weeks ago by the AFL-CIO, which said that almost half of all women who are working in the workforce now are working different shifts from the men in their lives. In fact, the average wife who's working today is working 15 weeks more a year than she did in 1989, 10, 11 years ago.
I've waited for this day since I started real estate. So now I'm ready to ask you what I want to ask you. Because of the volume of sales I do, I feel that I'm ready to ask them to franchise and franchise on me.
Somehow, because Jackie Stanley has been able to work at a real estate job and manage her hours a little better, and because her husband Claude had a long day but a given day, they were able to be at home more consistently.
I wonder if you see the struggle of these families as inherently different from the struggles of families throughout this country's history. I mean, if people have faced hard times, they've had to pull through, somehow they've had to make it, make money, make a living, raise their families, do you think times have changed in such a way that the struggles are different?
Well, there was a cover story of a national magazine a few months ago. The cover story said, everybody's getting rich. That's the mythos today. That is the illusion that we're playing with. But in fact, as Oscar Wilde said, it's the mark of a truly educated person to be deeply moved by statistics. And the statistics today are fairly dramatic. In October, as the NASDAQ was bouncing to new highs, the wage of American workers increased 1 cent. The real wage of the median worker today was the same in 1999 as it was in 1979.
Bill Moyers, are you still in touch with these families?
Yes. This weekend we talked to Terry Newman, and we've had to change the conclusion of the broadcast because here's a woman, she had injured her ankle on the job, was out in a few weeks. When she went back last week, reported back to work, she was told that they no longer needed her.
Does she know what she's going to do next?
No. She said this weekend that she's looking for a job. There are plenty of jobs. In fact, there's a labor shortage. But jobs that pay a decent wage are hard to come by, even in this market. So she hasn't found one yet. But she'll keep looking. She's indefatigable. And as you said earlier, she likes being out there in the workplace. She liked driving that armored car.
I get a lot of looks from a lot of truck drivers. A lot of double takes that, wow, look at that, yeah. I love it. I think it's great, you know.
Working,
yeah.
She's not going to give it up easily, and despite the twists and turns and the constant rebuffs, Terry Newman is a survivor.
Bill Moyers is the producer of a new documentary called Surviving the Good Times, which airs on many public television stations Tuesday night. Bill Moyers, thanks for talking with us.
My pleasure. Thank you.